Back again.
Yes, and recording a special episode today. Before we start, I want to let you know that we will be recording an episode based solely on questions submitted by our listeners or viewers. So listeners or viewers, if you have a question that you would like to address to Monsignor Kupke, you can put it in the space provided on the podcast, or you can email us at spiwinfo@pattersondiocese.org, spiwinfo, St. Paul Inside the Walls. So,
do I have to like be like Johnny Carson for that episode and wear my hat?
Yeah, the great
whatever it was,
Karnak or whatever. You remember Joe?
Oh, he's too young.
Yeah, he might be.
I think it was Karnak.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I think so. And he would hold up the envelope. Yeah, okay. That was an aside. So I just want to mention that Monsignor Kupke has his calendar in front of him, and for only the second time in Coffee with Kupke, a list in front of him. All of the episodes that we have recorded, except the Christmas episode, have been episodes in which I have notes based on Living Stones, and he responds off the top of his head without any notes whatsoever. So this is an exceptional episode in that he has prepared a list for Weird Diocese of Patterson, right?
That's right.
And we think that there are so many weird things about the Diocese of Patterson that we may need two episodes. And Joe, once again, I'm going to have to ask you to watch the time for us. Okay, thanks. So I don't even know how to start this episode.
Well, I know for you, at least, weird means ghosts, haunted houses, Sasquatches in the woods.
That's true. That's true. I kind of have an affection for those episodes on TV.
So I don't know that ours are going to be quite like that, but these are some exceptional moments when something happens or somebody comes to the fore that is just a little bit
out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't you? Are we going chronologically, or
no?
This is just the way these things popped into your head.
Well, yeah. It's the ones that I like better.
Okay. And I'm just curious, when I asked you to think about this, was there a weirdness that popped into your mind right away?
Several.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So let's go.
The one that we have that is closest to your idea of weird, the haunted, is St. Patrick's in Hibernia.
Okay.
So this is a parish that no longer exists.
Poor St. Patrick.
Poor St. Patrick. And it's in Rockaway Township, the Hibernia section. And it's hard to get to. I brought our friend Monsignor John Hart up there one time when he became pastor of Rockaway just to show him where it was, because to get there, it's almost impossible. And it's additionally strange because it is owned by the parish in Booton, Mount Carmel.
I think you might have brought me there once.
I may have brought you there once. Yeah.
The building is still there?
There's no building. No.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something else then. Right. It's just maybe it was a ghostly building that I remember.
So in the late 1850s, when Mount Carmel built their present church in Booton.
Yes.
They tore down the old one, which was across the street where the school is today.
Got it.
But it was a wood frame structure. So they didn't so much tear it down as dismantle it.
Took it apart, yeah.
And put it on a wagon. And this part, knowing Booton, you know, it gets more exotic as you talk. They drove it over the hills into the Hibernia section of Rockaway
This
Township.
Was 1850?
1859.
So this is horse-drawn?
1860, right. Horse-drawn, right.
Oh, my gosh. And when you think of the hill that Mount Carmel is on, just right. getting it down the hill.
Well, think of how many hills are involved getting yeah. from Booton to yes. Rockaway Township. Yeah. And they re-erected it then on this small plot of land in Rockaway Township in a section called Hibernia, which at that point was somewhat flourishing because of the mines.
Yes.
So there were two plots there, a church plot and a cemetery plot. And they're kind of catty-cornered to each other. The church was advanced to parish status, but it never actually had a resident pastor. And finally, it burns down in the 1920s.
Oh.
And finally, the Bishop of Newark in the 1930s finally formally closes the parish. But the property is still there. Father Leo Fanning, the late pastor of Booton, one time called me up and said, why do I own two tracts of land? More to the point, why am I paying taxes?
Oh, wow.
As pastor of Mount Carmel on two plots in Rockaway Township.
And so they're there and unused?
They could not possibly be used except by weird people because to get to them, you have to drive all the way up Hibernia Road and then take a right and come down Upper Hibernia Road.
Okay.
To the point where the road is closed. There's actually a bar across, a gate across the road, because they're afraid of collapse of mine shafts underneath the road.
Wow.
So you can only drive so far down Upper Hibernia Road. Then you have to get out and walk the last couple of feet to where the plot is now. And you can see it clearly. You can see some of the foundation of this tiny little church. And also a few graves in the little cemetery.
So there was a cemetery there.
There was. Yeah. There is.
Are there probably mining families?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
Bishop Berdimer always suspected that he had somebody buried in this plot. But it's basically—
I'm not sure what that meant. You mean relative.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, if you find the Hibernia Post Office— on Green Pond.
Well, Road. I will be looking now, believe me.
Basically, up the hill from the post office, up on top of the hill, this is where the plot is.
Now, I wonder how many people, as a result of this episode, are going to be traveling to find St. Patrick's.
Well, that will be an inconvenience for the group that uses it now.
Who uses it?
High school kids in Rockaway Township. You know, when the few times that we've been up there, you can imagine how attractive an unused cemetery is, you know. So yeah.
I've been there in high school. Yeah. And more recently. Yeah. And I think in that area.
This is not God from heaven. This is Joe speaking. Yeah.
This is Joe, our engineer.
I think this is the area where those bat caves are as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it used to be a mine and now it's a bank.
So there's a little
sanctuary
there. And when we go there, we find beer cans, evidence of...
And guano.
Sort of like a fire pit, you know. People have had bonfires up there, you know. So if historians start going up there, I'm not so sure that... So this is my first entry for Weird New Jersey.
Wow. And I need to tack on. When I lived at St. Cecilia's in Rockaway... I think Monsignor Dennis Hayes mentioned to me that the tabernacle of St. Patrick's was in the basement.
Oh.
And so, in fact, it was a hand-built wooden tabernacle with the documentation that it was built by some gentleman for St. Patrick's in 1912. And I asked him if I could have it and use it at Morris Catholic. So when I was at Morris Catholic, there was the chapel, which was a renovated classroom, was not very attractive. And so we did a little bit of work in there and used that wooden tabernacle from 1912. Now, since I left, I think the chapel has been changed again, but I just hope and pray that somebody has held on to that. I mean, I don't know what they would do with it, but maybe that's something that should go into the archives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might make an inquiry. So that was very interesting. That was only one weird thing. Number two on your list?
Well, we have a number of buildings, churches in our diocese that have not been taken down, but came down of their own volition. You know, when you think of this...
They call that an act of God, don't they?
Yeah. when you think of St. Patrick's being carted across,
yes,
you know, there are a few that did not stand up that well.
Yeah.
Well. We start with St. Matthew's in Mount Arlington.
Who knew there was a St. Matthew's in Mount Arlington?
Well, there's about 20 old churches that no longer exist
there. Wow.
You know, there's St. Charles in Herdtown and St. Bartholomew's in Lafayette.
My goodness.
But St. Matthew's in Mount Arlington. If you go to Mount Arlington today, about halfway down the hill, there's a little public basketball court.
Hello, this is Bishop Kevin Sweeney of the Diocese of Patterson, and I have a new podcast called Beyond the Beacon. One of the things I love about this podcast is that I get to interview Catholics of different ages and backgrounds and learn what inspires them to live a life of faith, hope, and love. Join me on Thursdays for Beyond the Beacon, wherever you find your favorite podcasts, or watch it on my YouTube channel. Click the link in the description to learn more. Thank you, and God bless you.
I'm trying to think
and
of it.
And this is where St. Matthew's was. But it's a very tiny piece of land. So this was when St. Matthew's was a mission of first of St. Mary's Dover and later of Netcong. So they bought a lakeside piece of property in order to
capitalize on the view.
Also have a little bit more land because they had nothing. They just had, you know, when they bought church plots back then, it was like just enough to put the building on.
Oh, then
nobody was thinking
lots.
Of parking lots or anything like that.
School buildings.
So their intention was to move St. Matthew's down to the new lakeside front.
Oh, move the building?
Right. So they began this process apparently and had it halfway down the hill and stopped overnight. And apparently there was a violent thunderstorm. The underpinnings were
gone.
Yeah. And St. Matthew's just kind of slid down the hill.
Oh.
Just collapsed into a heap at the bottom. we have a picture, actually, in my book. One of my favorite pictures is St. Matthew's just sitting there with its bell tower kind of.
Oh, man. Right. Wow.
So then they had to build the current church, the stone church, which they dumped St. Matthew. He did not protect them. It's now Our Lady of the Lake.
Yeah.
But we have three others that collapsed in blizzards. So
that was before climate change.
Right.
We had blizzards back then.
So the first one is St. Monica's in Sussex.
Which is still in existence.
The original church in Sussex, which is another interesting story of where that comes from. St. Monica's in Sussex is directly connected to Gloria Vanderbilt and Anderson Cooper.
Okay.
But the original church, the wooden frame church, collapsed in the blizzard of 48 under the weight of the snow. So they had to rebuild the current church there, the red brick church that's there now.
It makes you wonder what kind of safety concerns there were not.
Right, and also how much snow fell in that blizzard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the later two are much later in our time.
Okay.
One is at Good Shepherd in Andover, before it was Good Shepherd. It was originally a small mission called Our Lady of Tranquility.
My goodness.
And they had a...
Isn't there a part of a town up there, Tranquility?
There's a neighborhood of, I forget which township it is, Green Township, I think, has a Tranquility section. And that's where the church was. And it was one of these prefab churches. Mm. And it collapsed under a blizzard and was unusable. It was only like 10 or 12 years old. But that prompted Bishop Redeimer then to send Dick Steiger up there to found a new parish. And Dick insisted that he wanted distance from Our Lady of Tranquility. So he insisted on a new name and a new location. And that's the origin of Good Shepherd.
And what year was that? I mean, I guess
80, 79.
Wow. Okay.
Actually, you know, when Dick was first named pastor there, he was the same pastor of Our Lady of Tranquility, even though the building was unusable.
Yeah. Wow. Now I think I'm remembering this.
And then the third one is even more recent than that, the new church at St. Teresa's in Sukasuna, which had some structural
irregularities.
That's the word I'm looking for. So their atrium collapsed under a snow.
Gosh, I forgot about that. And that was, when was that? That not that long.
It has
long
to be
ago.
Like in the late 80s.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then they had to
rebuild
it
and sue and
okay.
You know, all that good stuff. So
now, one interesting detail that I was unaware of is the number of parishes that are no longer in existence.
Yeah, there's about 20.
Yeah. I always wondered why we didn't have all the apostles, and we at one point we did.
We had most of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was St. Charles in Herdtown, St. Michael's in Middleville.
Yeah, you said St. Bartholomew.
In Lafayette.
Yeah. That's amazing.
They've all
gone.
St. Matthew's in Walpack. They've all gone.
Could Bishop Sweeney give out honorary titles and make them pastors of these no longer existing parishes like they do with, who gets the parishes in Rome?
In Rome, yes.
Yeah. Auxiliary bishops get.
Well,
get,
yes. Yeah. So, yeah, Sweeney could, somebody he doesn't really want to make a pastor, he could make him titular pastor of a parish that doesn't have anything to do anymore. Yeah. Yes.
There was one other thing I was going to ask you. And it just
the interesting thing about St. Teresa's in Sukasuna is that, you know, if you go back to our story about carting the church over the hills from Bootin to Hibernia.
Yeah.
Sukasuna had the same thing, because when that parish was founded, the founding pastor,
Carey?
No.
Fanning?
Nope.
Can't help you.
Yeah, anyway. He was parochial vicar in St. Teresa's in Patterson.
Oh.
And they still had their original Sears Roebuck prefab church on the property. And so he said to the pastor, can I have the church?
Well, and I was in that church many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they and they disassembled it, put it on a flatbed,
and that was there for a long time.
Sukasuna.
My cousins lived about four houses down. And we lived in the next town, and we would you know, sometimes the mass schedule worked out, and we would go to St. Teresa's. Are you looking for a picture right now?
No, I'm looking for the man's name.
Oh, it's going to...
I want to at least give him his due.
There,
Leo Lambert.
Okay, I do remember the name.
Yeah.
All right, so that was number two on our list. How are we doing time-wise?
At about 18 minutes.
Okay, so we can do number three.
And you started to talk about something, but we didn't.
Well, no, just that I knew St. Teresa's well. Yeah.
Well, I think number three would probably be the two pastors who died clutching money to their chest.
Wow. I hope we can do this in a couple minutes.
Well, this is, first of all, this is legendary anyway. I don't think we have photographs of this, but this is the legend that Father Koch and Butler are Franciscan friend.
Yes.
Who was off on all of his missionary.
Yes. And wasn't he Catholic Church Extension Society.
So he was coming back from a mission tour preaching tour, collecting money. And he traveled mostly by train.
Mm. So yeah, you've talked about him going through the train and getting
right
donations. Yeah.
So he gets off the train in Butler. The train station in Butler is way downtown.
Okay.
Almost in Bloomingdale. But he then had to walk up the hill to the monastery, which is all the way up on top
yes.
of the hill in yeah. a blinding snowstorm.
Wow.
So
that was before climate change.
Yes, and he's in his upper years at this point, carrying his sack of money, the donations that he's collected. And apparently it just wore him out, and he died almost as soon as he got into the monastery.
Wow.
Died of exhaustion, collapsed with the money bag.
Yeah, wow.
The other one is—
Did they know how much was in the bag?
I'm sure they do, but that's not in any history book.
Okay.
The other one is
and the other friars discovered him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What year was this?
Probably in the 20s.
Sometime. Okay. Yeah.
The other one was the founding pastor of St. Rose of Lima in East Hanover, Father Alphonse Schwolzel. And according to legend, he went over, they were having bingo that night, and he went over to bingo to say hello to everybody and also to collect the receipts. And he had them in a bag and was walking back to the rectory and had a massive heart attack on the sidewalk and died holding.
I wonder if it was before or after he counted how much was in there. It could have been one or the other. Now,
well, the really legendary part of the legend is that, rigor mortis had already set in and they couldn't get the bag out of his head. But, that may be apocryphal. I can't imagine that he was on the sidewalk that long.
Yeah. But who is telling you these stories? Like, where are you finding these stories?
Well, I was alive for that one.
Okay.
I mean, that was common. That was told broadly at his funeral.
what a way to be remembered. And how about the Koch story?
The Koch story, again, is one of several legends of...
Yeah, but who would you have heard that from? Would it be the friars who would tell you that?
Probably,
like an oral tradition.
An oral tradition.
Yeah. Wow.
His death in the blizzard is part of his hagiography.
Yeah.
You can well imagine how well this played into this wonderful servant of God who had given his life and worn himself out and dies, on the steps of the monastery. But there's also the bag of money from the
collection. Yeah, we leave that detail out in the official version.
Yeah.
Well, we got through three weird things, and we probably have many, many more. So on occasion, we will step out of the normal course and provide other episodes of Weird Diocese of Patterson. Until next time, let's leave it there. I want all of you who are listening or watching to make sure that you keep an eye out or an ear out for the next episode of Coffee with Kupke. In order to stay on top of new releases, make sure you follow or subscribe wherever you're listening. And if you are on YouTube, please do drop a like and hit the bell for notifications. While you're at it, make sure to check out the other shows produced by the diocese. Those shows are Beyond the Beacon, hosted by Bishop Kevin Sweeney and Jay Agnish, our Director of Communications, and The Paul Street Journal, hosted by Brian Hansberger and Freddie Garcia. I want to give a special thanks to Joe Genexi, our sound and visual engineer, Caitlin Ferrari, who's involved in pre and post production, and Freddie Garcia, who's helping out with this podcast in addition to doing his own. With all that said, I just want to thank you for joining us in Coffee with Kupke. Keep making Catholic history in the Diocese of Patterson.